Hi everyone, this is me, Ian Along, and thank you very much for tagging along with me for today. And as always, I am on my way to work. And usually when I'm on my way to work, I usually have time, quote-unquote, to reflect on things. And according to my podcast episode, the previous podcast episode, it's only the first part of what we are talking about the imperfections of the victim. Now, let me tell you this, I'm not glorifying victims. First and foremost, I'm not glorifying victims. Let's not act like, yes, we are victims, but we can be victorious, if I will put it on a wordplay. We can be victorious by sharing our stories of our being a victim. And I'm talking about real victims here. And we can be victorious and talk about the lessons that we can learn from it, and all of the good things, both good and bad things that we have experienced. We can share the stories, and people who will understand our situation will at the very least encourage us. But at the same time, those who do not want such negativity, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, this is every time we share our situations like that, it's not positive. The experience is negative, but the learning experience is positive. But unfortunately, they will not see people who did realize or will never realize, they will, or who do not yet realize, are they will just dismiss this, or because of there's so many problems, because they have their problems on their own, they might as well dismiss this. But let's just consider that the crowd we have, our crowd are the ones who will understand where we are coming from. It's a hit and miss situation. That's why I admire, forgive me for my long introduction, but that is why I admire live streamers, podcasters, vloggers, because they need to gather mention their content, be consistent on the content that they actually wanted, to the point that they will make time and effort to study their demographics and stuff like that. That's why I admire them, and that's why the followers that they have, albeit the fake or not, I admire them for the effort that they're putting through on this. And I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, that's why if you have 100 organic followers, just put it this way. If you have 50 or 100 followers, I mean organic followers, for example, you put them in one room. Just think about it. People can get so... People usually succumb to insecurity when they only have 100 followers. But mind you, if you put them in one room, that's it. That's how many 100 is. You put them in a conference room, you will feel a congregation. And speaking of congregation, I'm a Christian, by the way. I'm a Christian and of a fundamental / evangelical leanings, but this is all usually, whether no matter how quote unquote liberal the pastor is or the speaker or the preacher is, the audience have no choice but to listen. It's disrespectful to interrupt a speaker, right? It's disrespectful to interrupt a speaker. And this is why, on that note, because if you are in that audience, it's rude to disrespectful to interrupt speakers. And that is a fact. That is the truth. Thus, my admiration to live streamers, podcasters, vloggers, because they can be ignored. And those people who drop by for a few seconds, at least they took few seconds of their time viewing and then giving you the benefit of the doubt, and since it's not for them, they will just leave, and it's fine. That's why I admire live streamers, podcasters, and vloggers, because they need to be respectful with the audience. Unlike, sorry to say, unlike preachers and pastors, they already have an aura, they have already have a protection. And I'm not talking about the anointing, God giving protection. I'm not going into that. All I'm saying is they already have that kind of protection in the avenue called not interrupting the speaker. Because in the live stream, in the podcast, in the vlogger, they can just interrupt. And sometimes nice live streamers do not block the disrespectful audience. They will win them over, or they will warm them, and that's it. I know this is a lengthy introduction, but at least we are putting some grounds on this. Oh, speaking of my dynamics, speaking of my demographics, most of the listeners out there are from the managerial perspective, or from those who are already in the managerial positions, those age who are already paving the way for not really CEOs. Not really CEO age, but those in the managerial demographics or age. And I do not just want to mention how old, because that is just a side. But anyway, going about the victims, or those imperfect victims. Again, time and again, all victims are imperfect. Let's keep that in mind. And people who are simplistic will say that all victims, that's it, podcast over. That's it. But since we are wanting to expound on what, because if we are trying to be that simplistic by saying all victims are imperfect, period. And I'm not saying that not all people are literally like that, but in essence and in principle, they are being like that. Conversations that they wanted to interrupt, conversations that they wanted to stop, especially if the victims were male, with all due respect to the advocacies against domestic violence done to kids and women. Now, to expound this sentence that victims are imperfect, I have cited this from time to time. Courtney Love, who is into the grunge scene, you know, the image of the grunge scene, you know, of course, rock and roll had that image of sex, drug, and violence. And since Harvey Weinstein had violated or harassed, I do not know the exact details, but just Courtney Love mentioned And Courtney Love is not one of the quote-unquote credible person around. And there are rumors circulating about her being have a tendency to be to compulsively lie. Although the thing is, it was compounded, it was proven years or even a decade later, maybe around two decades later, that it is true. Harvey Weinstein had been doing that over aspiring models or aspiring models and actress. It just happened to be that the victims become more and more elegant, quote unquote, and thus providing more and more credibility. It is such a shame. And I cannot understand, and I understand where lawyers and police officers are coming from, because they need to establish, because if they file, if these police officers, if they, or even lawyers, if they file, or the police officers or any authority figures filed false accusations, false charges, it will come back to them for damages. Or if the person is a lawyer, I do not know exactly, but the thing is, the lawyer, but they have this thing about false accusations. But I admire some lawyers for being resilient and moving forward to the next case, to their next case. Now, but you know, the tribal publicity thing. But anyway, and it was proven decades later that Harvey Weinstein is doing that, all because they do not believe Courtney Love. And even Seth MacFarlane are making fun. Seth MacFarlane, in one of the awards, when he was the host, he made fun of Harvey Weinstein, what Harvey Weinstein is doing. And they are laughing, but they cannot. They're laughing, or that kind of audience. But you know that there's some truth in that. It's like an, it's good thing more and more people are coming out. Coming out, and because of Me Too, even victims, male victims, take it for example, I forgot his character in Star Trek, Anthony Rapp, if I'm not mistaken, or kindly help me with this, but that Star Trek character, and he came out just in time for Kevin Spacey to come out as gay. And then he harassed him when he was a teenager, or when he was and regardless of age, it's consent, you know, regardless of age. And Kevin Spacey at the time was in his 20s. Talk about a form of authority figure, especially if you are into acting, aspiring actor, and Kevin Spacey is already in his 20s, then he established himself as an unwritten or unofficial authority figure of that person. One way or the other, maybe he admired Spacey because, well, he's a good actor. Then, you know, he did come out immediately simply because he's just young. Nobody can help him at that time. Not if he had a parent. I do not know exactly his biological background, but if he had a parent, his parents cannot do something about it, even if they can. And that is the US. How much more in the Philippines? how much more in the Philippines, especially if an authority figure of an actor, an actor has political connections. And not to mention, they have all the money and resources to counter assassinate a very young man. That's why victims only speak out years after. That's why, and then because of statute of limitations, because of the statute of limitations. Of course, the statute of limitations, I believe, is I'm not a lawyer. This is just an opinion. You can take it or leave it. But if a person is a more of a but the statute of limitations or the quote-unquote the expiration from the event that it happened until up to the time that a person will attempt to file the charges, that statute of limitations or something like that, the purpose of that is that on the benefit of the doubt that the person had changed. And on the, because the person will get better and better as years go by. But this is a different case. This is attempted rape. This is a harassment. Although the court is only for actual charges, they are not after sentiments or feelings. Or I think, the word I think, just the merits of the cases. Just the merits of the cases. And this is why such limitations exist. Although, if you are a young person at that time, you cannot file charges because you're too young. So that is the imperfections that goes with it. Or people, let's put it this way. There are people who are, I remember mentioning this, that I have this online friend, that she knows. I cannot say for straightforwardly, because she might misinterpret me, that she is not, if not put in check, she will succumb to being a gold digger. She succumbed to being a gold digger because of her being overwhelmed with the places that she goes, she's overwhelmed with a man that will treat her like a princess. You know, she would be treated like a princess, and literally they will go to these expensive places, expensive restaurants, and sometimes to the point that he will also bring her family as well and other relatives. Who will not fall for that? Who will not initially fall for that? He's not only inviting her friends, he is also inviting her relatives, who will not fall for such. But the thing is, there is a propensity, if not checked, if not reminded, she will have the propensity to become that sense of being overwhelming. Being a gold digger definitely is a big stretch or a big word to say, but it's a form of imperfections. It's a form of imperfection when you are easily overwhelmed by material things and power. That is a form of imperfection which abusers, manipulators, and even narcissists will use against the person. And that is, and that itself is a form of imperfection. Thus, when the person, when the abuser tries to turn things around and tries to change the narrative, the person or the victims themselves will become less credible, simply because this person, he knows the imperfection. That's why people be discerning on this one. I know I have not, personally, I'm not have been discerning on this. That's why I'm warning. I'm warning everyone to be discerning on this. That since victims are imperfect, abusers will discredit, abusers will discredit the victim because they know their weaknesses. They know their weaknesses, they know their tendencies, and sometimes the most angry person can be a victim. The most angry person prone to outbursts, emotional outbursts, it can be used against him. It can be used against her. That's why. So maybe you ask Ian, are you implying that we should not give the benefit of the doubt to those who are accused of victimizing somebody? Are you saying that we never believe that? No. Just be discerning. How is this possible? There are some tools you can use. Time, for example, the consistency. Stories will change again and again, but not necessarily out of inconsistency. There are certain truths that will not change over the course of time. It will happen. Over the course of time, the narrative may have some revisions that goes with it. It becomes clearer. There are added details, or some details that were moved out because of memory, because that's how memory works. But there are still certain, there is a core consistency that will go to it. Tough, right? Yes, that's why we need to be discerning. We need to be discerning regarding this one. The same, for example, take it on my case, for example. Personally, taking my case, for example, I am very transparent when I'm angry. When I'm angry, I'm very transparent. Sometimes when I was younger, I have these emotional outbursts. And this is the reason why there are church people who judge me because of that. There are church people who had that impression of me that I'm just that person. And I cannot blame them for that. I can't blame them for that. They witness that outburst that I have. And they also witness some of the things when one of my exes and I are into arguments. They have witnessed how it can be, how things can be. That's why I succumb to reactive abuse. Actually, somebody says reactive abuse is not abuse. Right? I do not know, but we can just say that it is a form of, but still it's a reaction to the abuse being done to you. In my case, done to me. Because I've been manipulated for days. I've been provoked and manipulated for days, not hours, guys. days. And exploding just at the time that I'm in the public cloud. You know, these abusers, they know how to use special events, especially if you're the organizer. After all, if you are the organizer and you got embarrassed, you will be embarrassed to go out. Sometimes if you are an image conscious person like me at that time, you will, after all, especially in the youth ministry, image matters. Let's face it, you disagree with me all you want, but that is the fact. Image matters in the youth ministry. After all, there are young people out there. They need to see if the person is credible. And like adults who see things clearer than young people. And like adults who see things better than young people, who can just ignore some of the idiosyncrasies, or just to focus on some important things. Now, discredibility, these imperfections, the outbursts, it can be used against the victim. Thus, again, going back to the statement that victims are imperfect. The reason why, is there such a thing called flawless victim? Quote unquote flawless victim, not to define it in a zero flaws, zero mistake whatsoever, sinless person. Is there such a way that a victim, how pure and how good he is or she is, can still be victimized? Well, it's not simple as it may be, but the very fact that he noticed you, or that he caught up to you, he finds your weakness. There are good people who are not into materialism, but they're into good food. They're into good food. Some people are not really into good food, but they are into intelligence. So he can shift and become this wise person or intelligent or an intellectual, mind you. That can be done by abusers. And on that, it's a never-ending process of finding your weakness. That's why abusers, manipulators, and control freaks tend to make fun of the person they cannot control. Either they make fun of the person they cannot control, or they make fun, or they make other people do the dirty job for them because they cannot contain the person. And if you get angry, that's a reactive. That's how, and once you reacted, it becomes a flaw or imperfection. My point in all of this is going back to my first sentence: all victims are imperfect. So if the next time somebody mentioned to you that they are victim of sexual assault, or victim of unpaid debts, somebody a victim of people not paying their their debts, big debts especially, or they're victim of character assassination, or they're victim, any form of victim. The first thing is the merit, the first thing to look is, did that really happen? First is to look past on the victim's flaws and imperfections. Whether you are, especially if the victim confided to you. Especially if the, yes, I repeat, especially if the victim confided it to you. Especially sexual assault related cases. Man, it's not easy for them to open up. And it takes trust for them to open up to you. Also, especially for men. For men who are victims of relationship abuse. It takes courage, because after all, it takes courage and risk for them to open up. After all, there are people who are still, until now, dismissive when abuse was done to male individuals. Whether that is regardless of gender, regardless if the relationship is homosexual or heterosexual, regardless, if a man opened up, especially, look, in the, take for example Nicole of the Subic rape case. Subic rape case. If I'm not mistaken, Daniel Smith and the extradition or the VFA thing. I will not dwell into that. But think about this. This person named Nicole, she's not from Subic. It was told that she was really not only outside of Luzon, and she originally is from outside Luzon, and she traveled all the way to Subic. With what intention of course she will hang out, quote unquote, she will find somebody, most probably GIs, American GIs or American soldiers, who is just hanging out, and that is an instant passport or instant green card. That's how it happens. And that is a reality. Let's put it that way. Most probably, Nicole, the victim of in the Subic rape case, Nicole, actually has that objective to hunt, quote unquote, to catch American men or any foreigner, because that is Subic. Maybe that's her objective, maybe not. But the fact that she is outside, she hails from outside Luzon, and then she went to Subic. What is your motive? Being at the bar. Okay, so now you are convinced. Now you are already discrediting her. But the thing is this. These American soldiers, they promise, maybe they promise a really, really good time. And then she just left. They just left her cold. They just left her out cold after that. they did it, brought her to her place, or maybe she cried rape. She cried victim. She acted like a victim. But that is the problem. That is the thing. That's how flawed that victim is. That's how flawed Nicole is. Is that a reactive? Was the person who did that to him, the Americans who did that to him, are just reactive victims? No. They really have that intention. And then when they found out maybe that she is like that or stuff like that, they just threw her off the bus, figuratively. Is she a victim? Yes. Perfect? Definitely not. And recent developments have shown that they say that she's already in the U.S. So that's how it went for her, because she justified that her name is already maligned, or she wants a new life in the U.S. Okay, so people say, such a bitch. Well, maybe she is, maybe not. But still, she's a victim. Why? Because she got thrown off the bus. Figuratively. They just left her out there. That's the problem. That's the problem. And also, it's already problematic when somebody is in the bar, will hang out with somebody, especially that guy, if I'm not mistaken, he is into a relationship, you know, he's into a relationship, and he's hanging out, and then will hook up with somebody. That's already problematic in itself. Is he a victim? No. He's not a victim. But technicalities make him, at least it serves him right that he was detained here, and then he was just sent to, he was just shipped back to the US. And that is I think that is a lesson for him, that you don't just hook with women. Just don't hook with Asian women, or in the case Philippine women, they just hook up with Asian women, and then you will just do what you wanted to do simply because you are an American. Flawed as the intentions of that lady or woman may be, but she is still a victim. And a person wanting, and this is the thing about being a victim, it's sometimes a person can be really, really imperfect or flawed, but still is a victim. And as a person, it takes effort to clearly see, or at least not clearly see, or maybe at least have indicators that that person is really a victim, regardless of her or his flaws or imperfections. That's my point. That's the point of all this. That to look at the situation as it is, factual. Now, then if you have acted upon this, if you're an authority figure, if you have the power to, or you have certain authority to take care of this properly, then do so. Or if you are a friend of that person or somebody who takes side of the real victims, regardless of her flaws, that's good. Then after you have supported the person, you might as well, if you have a certain level of authority, you might as well remind that person. Now that is a lesson. Now that is a lesson for that person. You don't blame the victim. You don't blame the victim. You support the victim. You help them. Or at least by listening, you help them. Then after helping them, you help them. after helping them one way or the other, you also need to help them to become better person. After all, they were abused simply because they find a weakness to their character, a weakness. For example, if the person has a propensity to become gold digger, you need to remind the person, not to say, stop being a gold digger. No, no, you can remind them that, you got overwhelmed. Since you are fascinated by that, it is a lesson for you not to be easily fascinated by that. So it's like, you did accuse the person of being a gold digger, and you are not accusing him, her, or one, but at the same time, you are reminding her or that person or him to not to be overwhelmed, because victim or abusers will do that. We take advantage of that. For example, if you are overwhelmed with intelligent people, I've seen this in organization many, many, many times, only to victimize or be indifferent to other people's welfare. They get victimized, they get overwhelmed by smart people. Before they get overwhelmed by smart people, look at the consistencies. Look at the consistencies, or look how he or she treats other people. You may be overwhelmed by his being smart and intelligent, and other people being victimized, he might say that person is stupid, that's why he became a victim, he was victimized. But look past that, and you remind the person to look past that, and there are people who he or she treated differently. Like, for example, if you have a person who are overwhelmed by such figures, you remind the person to how, especially if, how did that person treat you? It spells a difference. For example, if you're a friend of that person, and that person is so overwhelmed by that person simply because he's smart, or she is smart, she's intelligent, and she has a good knack for things, and yet that person, that very same person, took you for granted or mistreated you, or you being indifferent towards you, then mention that to that person after you have helped the person. Or maybe along the way you mention that person is, I know you are overwhelmed by such, but that this is how he treats me, or this is how she treats me. And you take that into consideration, because it takes risk to tell that. It takes this for somebody to say that to you, being a friend. Now, ladies and gentlemen, going back to my first sentence, all victims are imperfect. This is Ian Dalong. Thank you so much for allowing yourself to be tag along. Good day.